Today is a special service. It's our VBS service. So we're going to be doing some things a little different this morning in light of VBS. The message will be abbreviated, but I wanted to have a message that helped us understand why we're doing what we're doing. As Adam already mentioned, 70 people from our congregation are going to engage in this thing called VBS. 70 leaders are going to participate in that. To give you an idea, last week we had 190 people in attendance, and so 70, that would be one out of every three of us, are engaged in this thing called VBS. Why do we do VBS? What purpose does it fulfill? It fulfills one purpose of the church, a significant purpose. Amen? There's five purposes of the church. I just want to go over them real briefly. Five reasons that God gives us in His Word. I'm not going to actually teach on this, but I want us to realize there's five purposes that the church fulfills. The first purpose is worship. Everyone say worship. We exist to help people center their lives around Jesus Christ. Amen? The second purpose is fellowship. Everyone say fellowship. Well, the stage is really short. I about walked right off it. Fellowship. We don't do life alone. We're part of a body, and we're part of a family, and that's the second purpose, is fellowship. The third purpose for the church is evangelism. Evangelism. I'm not going to make you repeat it this time. Evangelism. What is that? That is giving people the opportunity to choose Jesus or to reject Him. That's evangelism. The fourth purpose is discipleship. Discipleship, once someone becomes a believer in Christ, they are known as, they've been born again, amen? And as a newborn baby in Christ, they need to grow to maturity. Discipleship is the process of growing to maturity. And the last one is ministry. We don't exist just to warm pews, we exist to serve the Lord. And so training people in ministry. The purpose of VBS is evangelism, helping children have an opportunity to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I want to talk about evangelism, and I want us to catch God's heart regarding this incredibly important purpose. We have three points I'm going to make today. I'm going to focus around three verses. The first verse shares with us God's heart. God's heart. If something is dear to God's heart, then it ought to be dear to our heart as well. Amen? What is God's heart? Does the Scripture share God's heart regarding the lost people that are around us? 2 Peter 3:9 says this. It'll be on the screen. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness, but instead He is patient with you. Amen? How many of you are thankful that God is patient? God is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. This verse shares with us God's heart, and His heart should be our heart as well. This applies to us individually, and it also applies to us as a group, as a church as a whole. The things that are on God's heart should be on our heart. What's on God's heart? One thing, not wanting anyone to perish. God does not want anyone to perish. Amen? Second thing, God wants everyone to come to repentance. That is God's heart. As for us as individuals, that needs to be on our heart as well. We don't want anyone to perish, but we want everyone to come to repentance. Sometimes I think we are guilty of approaching Christianity kind of like college football. You know, the Christians are on the Ohio State team. They wear the Ohio State shirt. And the non-Christians are on the Michigan team, right? And we have funny jokes that go back and forth. You're Ohio State, I'm Michigan. My nephew is from Michigan, so we go back and forth a lot. But there's like rivalry there, but it's different. In the church, it's not, I wear the Christian shirt, I'm on the Christian team, and well, you're on the non-believer team, that's your choice, and we just coexist, and we're happy for that. It's not like that. God wants us to be aware that when we walk into Walmart, we are surrounded by people that God calls perishing. Amen? They're perishing without hope, without God, heading to a godless eternity. We are surrounded by people who are perishing. If we're going to have the heart of God, which is not wanting anyone to perish, we must have the eyes of God that recognize and see people all around us who need Jesus. Amen? It needs to be on our hearts. When we go to Walmart, we're surrounded by people who are perishing. When we go to our workplace, we're surrounded by people who are perishing. That's a huge word, perishing. It should carry a huge, huge emotion with it. God is not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. That should be our heart. But it also collectively, as a church, it should be part of the church's heart. Not that just people not perish, but there's something significant in this. I put it in yellow there. He is patient with you, not wanting, what's the next word? Anyone. Now, the word anyone, is anyone excluded from that? So that's like all, right? Not wanting any person from Bucyrus, any man, woman, or child. God's heart for Bucyrus is that every man, every woman, and every child would not perish. That is God's heart. Are you with me? Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone. Is there anyone outside of that word, everyone? That means everyone, every man, woman, and child in Bucyrus, every man, woman, and child in our county to come to repentance. That is God's heart. And God's heart must be our vision as a church. Amen? That must control the things that we do. Any vision that is smaller than anyone or everyone or the word all is not God's vision. Because God is not willing that any should perish. Amen? Any plan that a church has that does not incorporate the all is less than God's plan. God's plan for our church is that we would be a part of reaching every man, woman, child in Bucyrus and in our county for the Lord. Amen? Second verse that I want us to look at has to do with God's plan. How is he going to accomplish this vision? What is God's plan? He doesn't want anyone in our county or in our towns to perish. What's his plan? Romans 10, verse 13 to 15 says this. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's great news. Amen? Notice he's talking about salvation, and he includes the word, what's the first word? That has to be our vision. Our vision has to be everyone. Amen? Everyone. So his plan, what is the plan? Well, first he's going to show us the problem in verse 14. How then will they call on the one that they have not believed? That's a problem. How can they call on someone they don't believe? And then he goes on and describes the problem even more. And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how can they believe him if they haven't heard? And how can they hear unless someone preaches to them? By the way, preaching in the Greek, that's just proclaiming. It's not like a pastor has to do it. It's proclaiming the truth. It's telling, sharing the truth. And how can they preach unless someone is sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who carry the good news. God's method is very simple. You know, he could have chosen any method. God created the world. He could have put big televisions in the sky that just communicated the gospel all the time. And he could have done that, couldn't he? He created this world. He could have written the gospel on the ground. Everywhere you walk, you would read it. He could have done that. He could have chose to have his angels come and share with us through the angels, but he didn't. He chose us. Amen? He has given, he entrusted this mission to us. That is a sacred trust, and it is a fearful responsibility. Amen? God has entrusted, his plan is you. His plan is me. 2 Corinthians 5:20 puts it this way. We are therefore Christ, what? You are an ambassador of Christ. His plan is you. His plan is me. That's how everyone will receive the opportunity to receive Christ or to reject Christ. We are Christ ambassadors, as though God himself, as though God were making his appeal through who? Us. We are Christ ambassador. God's plan is us. He put all of his eggs in one basket. There's one plan, and the plan is that we as Christians would faithfully share the gospel, share the good news to those who are around us. And it ends. We implore you, let's read the whole verse again. We are therefore Christ ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. And the third verse I want to share with you has to do with God's method. And it's Jesus told us it in a parable, in a picture, so that it's real clear, real easy for us to understand. And I've used this video in the past, but I'm going to use the video again. First, the verse, Matthew 13, verse 33. Are you still with me? Matthew 13, verse 33. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like what? This is how we are going to do it. Amen? This is how we are going to do it. This is God's plan. God's plan must be our plan. God is showing us how to do it, how to have a citywide impact, how to have a countywide impact. God desires for our church to reach all of Bucyrus, every man, woman, and child, in all of our county as well. That is God's plan. Amen? How are we going to do it? We're going to do it by thinking and acting like yeast. Boy, that sounds like fun. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. If God says it, we can't say, well, the kingdom of heaven is like something different. It's like yeast. Does anyone want to be part of a revival? I do. Does anyone want to experience a mighty move of God? I do. Well, how do we do it? We do it if we faithfully behave and do the things that God says in his word. We will see the fruit of a revival in our town and in our county. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into 60 pounds of flour until it worked all the way through. Yeast, we're going to spread. The message of hope is going to spread like yeast. I have a picture up here of yeast under a microphone. The one becomes two. The two become what? Four. Interesting. The four become eight. This is math class. the eighth become, this is how movements are started. Amen? The 16 then become, the 32 become, some of you are getting the fingers out. This is how God, he says, this is how my kingdom spreads. This is how it does it. I'm going to have that video playing again and again as I'm talking. But I want you to notice, is there inside of this cell, is there one cell that is like doing it all? No. Every cell is doing what? Not dividing, it's actually multiply. Let me ask that again. Every cell does what? Just some statistics. This is the vision. Everyone reach one. Amen? Everyone reach how many? Is that possible? That's doable. Everyone, this is our vision for how we will reach our community. Everyone reach what? Everyone say it together. Everyone reach one. Amen. What does that mean? Everyone help another person be reconciled to God. Everyone reach one. Let me show you just on a, give you some statistics. Population of Bucyrus is 11,543 people. That's a lot of people. Amen. Crawford County, 41,529 people, according to Dr. Google. Okay? I believe God's vision for our church is that we would have a countywide impact. I really believe that. Amen? How are we going to do it? We're going to do it by everyone reaching. That's it. Everyone's going to reach one. Let me show you what I mean. Last week we had 190 people in our congregation, okay? So if everyone reached one, how many people would be reconciled to God at the end of 1 year? If everyone reached one in 1 year, how many people would be reconciled to God? Yes. And so everyone put one finger up. How many people did you reach for the Lord, help reconcile? That was one. You think you can do that in 1 year's time? I think we can do that. Amen? Can you do that? We can do that. Everyone reach one. And then 1 year from now, if everyone reached one again, like yeast, right? The kingdom of God spreads like yeast. How many people would be reconciled to God? 760. But how many? Put your fingers up. Two. How many did you reach? That's huge, isn't it? It's doable. Amen? Year three. If everyone reached one in year three, how many people would that be? Yes, what he said. This is where the math students separate from the rest of us. But how many did you reach? Three. You helped three people be reconciled to God. Amen? At the end of the fourth year, how many would that be? 3,040. Yes. And you've reached four. And you continue this on. Just go ahead and scroll through till the eighth year. I want you to see that the population is 11,500. Then by year seven, more than the population of Bucyrus has been reached. By year eight, all of our county has been reached for the Lord. And if that happened, now obviously not everyone's going to choose Christ, but we did it in 8 years of time by everyone reaching one. Are you with me? Okay. I got to close things up because we have a lot more going on. Just some statistics as Adam is coming forward. We have 110 children signed up for VBS. That is incredible. I'm super excited about that. We have 70 volunteers. That's one out of every three of you are going to engage in this. That means the full strength and power of our church is behind this one activity. Amen? That is super exciting. And the purpose of it is evangelism, to help children be reconciled to God. This week, throughout the month, we've had numerous hours of preparation. This, from decorating to drama practices to crafts and games and food, you name it, our people have been engaged and involved. There's hundreds of hours of preparation. Children will absolutely have fun. Amen? And they will absolutely hear about Jesus. I asked the leaders, what day will the gospel be presented? And they said, every day the gospel will be presented to the children. Amen? That is exciting. That's very, very exciting. I want you to reach in your bulletin, pull out this card. In just a minute, we're going to do something different. This is a tradition of our church. We go to the different areas for the VBS and pray for them. It's called prayer stations. In just a minute, we're going to break out and we're going to pray for these things. But our vision is that everyone would reach what? And so here's an invite card. I asked Laura if 110 people is all the people that we can fit. And she said, no, we can have more. How about we invite someone? As you go through your different prayer stations, I want you to carry the invite card and consider who you would like to invite to this VBS. They will have an awesome time, and they will hear about Jesus.